Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Blog Talk Radio for Christmas morning, December the 25th, 2013. We are Blog Talk Radio. We are Answers for the Paranormal. And this is our fourth annual Christmas show. My name is Bill Posey. I am your host for the show today. And on the line with me is my co-host, Joe Marotti. How's it going this morning, Joe?
It's going very well, Bill. As we were speaking a little while ago, it's going to take a little while for me to wake up. I'm getting there. I'm probably around 50% now. I'm not used to getting up this early. It's about 2 hours earlier than I'm used to getting up, but and it's cold outside, so that may have helped invigorate me a little bit. So I think I'll be ready to go in about 5 minutes. I'll be at full blast.
sounds good. Well, this is our annual Christmas special that that Joe and I broadcast every year. And Joe is looking back at some of the other broadcasts that we've done on Christmas morning, and it's really encouraging to see that this is now the fourth Christmas show that we've aired, and the Lord has just done some amazing things through this vehicle that we have to broadcast. And as I was looking at some of the subjects that we talked about on the other shows and some of the messages that we've broadcast, it's been just a blessing for us to step aside from some of the things that we normally broadcast regarding supernatural things through the paranormal realm, and to focus in on a day of the year where people come together to celebrate the birth of Christ for some, and for others a day of getting together and just having some fun. So in the past we've really taken some time to look at some areas of our lives, some of the things that we've done throughout the years as we've celebrated Christmas, and where the Lord has led us and has molded us into to what we are today. So we want to wish everyone this morning tuning in, and those that will be tuning in via podcast, a blessed Christmas and a happy new year. So John, I'm going to turn it over to you for a little bit here, and you can just take some time and talk about maybe some of the things that you experienced last night as you got together with your family, and then as you look back on some of our other broadcasts, just talk about some of those things.
Yeah, last night we have a tradition in our family that really is on the side of my wife's side, where we get together, the whole family, even the extended family, gets together at one of two houses. My house just isn't big enough to accommodate everybody. The parking as well is not sufficient. So we're able to gather, fortunately, at Sandy's sister's house last night. Very nice house, good size house, and we had a good 25 people there, and over the years, as our children have grown up, we've seen now we have three very young children that my niece's three children, they live in Connecticut now, and they surprised everyone, really. They weren't supposed to be here because it's a good 3.5 hour drive for them, and then 3.5 hours back last night. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see them. And, you know, it's just really nice to see how over the years kids have grown up and their cousins as well and how they interact with each other. And, you know, sometimes you sit back and you wonder, as this tradition has gone on for over 20 years. Well, my wife and I have been married for 25 years now. It's been going on even prior to that. I wonder if the now 20-ish something kids in our children in our family will continue on the tradition. It's a nice thing to get together, as we were speaking a little earlier, Bill. You don't often get a chance to get together with family all at once, and I like to move around and hit topics with different people that I don't get a chance to normally. So it was very, very nice to do that. And we do a thing called you wouldn't call it Pollyanna. I think it's called White Elephant, where everybody buys a gift and they take a number, and the lowest number goes first. Mm-hmm. You open a gift, and that person who was number one gets to, at the very end, steal one of the other gifts. So the gift that you open, you're not necessarily going to go home with. Someone always has a chance who comes after you to steal that gift. So it's fun. There's a cost limit on it. We don't go crazy. So everybody's kind of on equal footing. So, the food is always good and the company is good. And just, it's a time for me to relax where, you know, as you know, Bill, and it's the same in your life. It just, the stress of life really bears down on you at times, and I know that this is the case because we're texting each other all the time and we're always asking each other for prayer. It's just nice to be able to, for one night, not really worry about anything and to just sit back and relax. It's a refreshing time, so I'm thankful for that, and we don't get home too late. I'm very thankful for the family that we do have. It's really been a blessing over the years.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, we had a very hectic Christmas Eve day and evening. It was one of those days, Joe, where it just seems that the clock just runs away with you as you have a time frame that you need to work within, and.
Right.
When you procrastinate like I do so often, mm-hmm. It does catch up with you. So my wife, you should have seen it here in our family room, Joe. The paper and the tape was flying in the air as we were frantically wrapping because, you know, at some point I had to get in the shower and get ready, and then we had to drive into Willow Grove to meet up with our niece and and their family to attend a Christmas Eve service. And I'll tell you, whenever you do that to yourself, when you don't leave yourself enough time, it really does lend for, you know, a day where you don't really get to relax. So it seems as though you're always trying to catch up the rest of the day. And so we attended a Christmas Eve service. It was nice. The music I always find is soothing to the soul. Whenever you can sing Christmas carols as unto the Lord and hear the instruments playing and stuff like that, it's you know, it's just a blessing. And and then we went back to Susan's sister's house and just spent the night. And it was crowded. The food was good. The you know, the company, just getting to talk with different people and meeting some new people. As my one niece had a bunch of friends come over late after she got through with work. She works at Planet Fitness, and it seems as though the gyms don't close down on Christmas Eve, Joe. They're
I
open,
noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah, right along with Wawa and 7-Eleven and a couple other of the convenience stores. So she got home kind of late, and we were really waiting up for her before we could leave to come home. So, you know, I did get to relax a little bit, but it was just, you know, the daylight portion of Christmas Eve that really that really set me back. And we got an early Christmas present this year, Joe. We celebrated the birth of twin boys. My son and his fiance had on December 19th a blessing from the Lord, two beautiful boys. So
that was
part of the topic of the evening, is just sitting around and, you know, catching up on, you know, what they're doing. And yeah, as you say, Joe, praise the Lord, they're doing well. They're beginning to eat on their own now, and they never really were hooked up to machinery or anything like that. They had some IV, of course, but being premature, you know, you're always on edge. And you know, and I saw in Paige last night that she was kind of feeling a little melancholy because, you know, the babies are still at the hospital and they're home, and it's their first Christmas, and, you know, they really can't celebrate it in the way that they wanted to. So she was a little sad about that, but, all in all, it was a great night, and, praise God that the gospel went forth, and, that we were able to spend time, with our families and just enjoy one another. And that's really one of the great, you know, things about Christmas is just, you know, as you were reminiscing about through the years, you know, how the family grows, and, you know, and how you're able to just watch and observe how, you know, people celebrate Christmas. And it's it really is a blessing. And and I'll just say that you know, as I get older here, Joe, it's it gets more and more difficult to get through a Christmas Eve. You know, I remember when our kids were first born, we would be just finishing up putting together the toys, and they would be coming down the steps, and we wouldn't get any sleep. And when you're in your 20s and 30s, Joe, that's pretty easy to do. You know, you can get through those sleepless nights. But man, I'll tell you, when it happens now, and you don't get much sleep, as both you and I didn't really get a full night's sleep last night, and had to get up this morning for the broadcast, it's really tough. But we're trusting the Lord this morning that He's going to invigorate us and excite us to be able to get through a broadcast that we really look forward to. And just thinking, Joe, that it's been a while since we've been in the air. Back, I believe it was August when we had Mark Hunneman on and talked about his book, Seeing Ghosts Through God's Eyes. So, Joe, before we get into some Christmas music here, why don't you take a couple minutes and just tell everyone who we are and what we do at Answers for the Paranormal.
Sure. As Bill started out this broadcast, we are Answers for the Paranormal. That's our internet ministry title. We began this in, I believe it was August of 2010, It was really a response on both of our parts. I guess initially mine, as I had become a watcher, I don't want to say fan, mm-hmm. but a watcher of paranormal programs, which at the outset of last decade really took off, and then towards the middle of the decade, and then towards the later part of it, like around just before we actually started up this ministry, the paranormal programs were just, there were one or two every month, new ones, and none of them, they all misrepresented what really the spiritual realm is about as we read accurately and truthfully and can understand from the scriptures. So what happened to someone upon death was completely misrepresented.
Mm.
And it was a struggle for me to sit back and watch really these prophets of lies who are paranormal investigators misleading the masses, because there was no Christian answer, and there remains to this day on mainstream cable no Christian answer. You really have to go to the internet, right, such as, you know, ministries like ours, to really get the truth from God's word as to what happens when someone dies, and that no one, there is no such thing as a disembodied spirit or a ghost, as the word, our culture would know it, and no such thing as aliens, as are portrayed on many of the paranormal programs as well. And, you know, the simple truth to all of it is that they are all demonic manifestations in one way or another, disguising themselves to deceive. And after all, their father, their leader, Satan, is the father of lies. So he has weaved in the paranormal realm and the culture of which still goes on today, and we're going to get to that at the, some point early next year, addressing the current temperature of the paranormal programming that's on television.
Right.
He has weaved a web of deception that is really incredible, and you can get so lost in it if you are not grounded in the scriptures. If you don't know the truth, you are easily misled. So we began the ministry, Answers for the Paranormal, which is, again, an internet Christian-based ministry where we answer the paranormal questions of today from a biblical worldview. We do radio blogcasts. We haven't done one, as you said, Bill, since last August. That's something that we want to correct this year. We want to at least get one per month, maybe even two per month. Again, the time constraints are so difficult. But we've had a chance over these past 4 years to answer a lot of emails and be able to go out and visit some people as well, and also talk on the phone with some people. So God has really blessed this ministry with an amazing impact as far as the gospel on the world, especially when you look at the, you know, we have on our website a live traffic feed display, which shows where people are accessing our website from, and we have visits from all over the world, and it's very interesting to see. Every once in a while, a new country will pop up, a visitor from a new country. So that's really exciting to see. And again, the blogcasts are incredible when you think about the number of podcasts that people are accessing. I mean, tens of thousands of listens. And at the heart of all of it, Bill, is the gospel. And we're not in this to, as all the paranormal investigators are, to entertain people, really, which is what it has come down to in that realm. We are in this as everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ. In our case, it happens to be a paranormal ministry that the Lord has drawn us to. It may be a different type of ministry, but the bottom line is someone who names the name of Jesus Christ needs to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in them. And the heart of our ministry is that we see all these people being misled by the father of lies and the prince of darkness, the prince of the power of the air. We are to meet that deception with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to, as in Colossians, we read that he has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So really that's who we are and what we do. We've also, our website is full of a bunch of other things, articles that are on there that are very informative. There are some videos that are very informative. and we'll try to do some work on updating the website in this coming year. There is so much work to do, Bill. There are so many things to do. So we really look for the Lord's direction in all of this, and we trust him to bring about the fruit that any of our efforts would produce. It's all based on how God works through his people at any given point in time. So we've got a lot of things to do this coming year, Bill, and it's very exciting. Like we've said in the past, I wouldn't want to be doing anything else really with my time. There's nothing more exciting really than serving the Lord. And you know that it's going to transfer into eternity. We're serving the one who is and was and who is to come, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's difficult to look out and see a culture that is serving the devil, really, and being misled by all of his lies and being swayed by all the enticements of this world. And one of those enticements, and a big enticement, is the propagation of the lie that when you die, you don't really you become a ghost. You can go to the light. You can cross over. All these things, all these lies that it essentially at the heart of them say you don't have to worry about what people are telling you about Jesus Christ. When you die, you can get things straight either in the ethereal realm, or you can have some medium or psychic get you to go to the light. It's very frustrating to watch these shows that are still on now that are still propagating those lies. But, you know, Lord, Bill, we can, we're only two people, and hopefully the Lord raises up more people to do what we're doing, and we'll trust him for all that.
Yeah, amen, Joe. Thanks for that. And, you know, as you were speaking, I was just thinking that, you know, one of the things that you see so often out there among the quote unquote paranormal crew that deal on these shows and you know, websites that are just popping up seemingly every day, you know, weekend warrior type of paranormal investigators that want to involve themselves in this sort of activity, and you know, just how dangerous it is, and they don't really understand what they're getting themselves into. And as we've said so often, Joe, there's you know, the paranormal investigators, they have all their tools and all their gadgets and so many ways that seem right to them to be able to diagnose what's going on in a supernatural happening.
Right.
You know, but as you say, Joe, the web of lies and of deception is just so deep that you know, they really can't see the spiritual aspect of what is really going on. And
right.
You know, and that's why you know, Joe and I come at this whole thing from the scriptures, because it's really the only truth that can speak to an issue such as this. You know,
yes.
We don't come at this at our, as you know, our own opinions, or we don't depend on you know, some kind of device to be able to give us answers for what's going on. We just trust in the Word of God and on what has been written concerning this type of stuff. And you know, it's really something that those who do want to dabble in this kind of a hobby, I'll call it that for most, you really do need to step back and look at it from the perspective of the scriptures as to what you're involving yourself in. So just a little bit of a, you know, a warning to those out there who want to become the next Zach Bagan or you know, become famous. To become famous and have their own TV show. It doesn't usually work that way, but you know, just be careful. And you know, and if you do involve yourself and you find yourself in a predicament as a result of what you're doing, just think back to this broadcast and look us up on the web, www.answersfortheparanormal.org, and get in touch with us, and we'd be happy to speak with you about whatever it is that that you're experiencing.
Amen.
Well, we are going to spend the rest of the time in our broadcast here this morning. We're going to take some time and listen to some Christmas carols, and then we're going to have a short devotional from the Word of God about Christmas, and then Joe's going to share at the end of the broadcast the truth of the gospel and how you can be assured of eternal life. So, Joe, looking through my files, my music files, and trying to pick some things out to play today. So first, we're going to start off with O Holy Night.
Good.
led by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a thought sweetly gleaming, here came the wise man from Orion's land. The King of Kings lay lost in lowly manger, in all our trials born to be our friend. He knows our need, to our weakness no strength. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, sing praise to him forever.
Oh, holy night.
Mm.
This is Answers for the Paranormal, our Christmas special for 2013. And Joe, as I was playing, I was just thinking back to the first time that I saw that performed on a TV show. And it was in the context of,
a variety show or something like that?
Yeah, it wasn't a variety show. I guess it was, you would consider it a family type show.
Okay.
And what they consider family shows today. And, in the theme of the show was kind of like, the normal Christmas gathering of a family, and
right.
and you had all these different types of things going on in a show that didn't honor Christ or the gospel, and yet
yeah.
you know, at the end of it, they felt compelled to stick something in there that would talk about the birth of Christ. And sometimes I wonder, what do these people think of when they put together a Christmas show? You know, is it just the token tip of the cap to Christians to make sure that they tune in to watch? We're talking about a miracle that happened some 2,000 years ago. And I think a lot of the truth of songs such as these get lost in those kind of shows, you know.
Yeah, you hit a chord with me, Bill, especially this past year. I mean, it seems to get more and more insufferable for me at this time of the year because during work we'll have the radio on and they start playing Christmas music. I think it's before December. It's probably sometime right around Thanksgiving. Some stations go over to quote-unquote Christmas music 24 hours a day. That's all that they'll play. And as you know, I've texted you a number of times. And it just gets overwhelming to me. I mean, it's just the silliness of these songs. And yes, a good question. Do they think that they have to just slip in a token tip of the hat to what really – this time of year should be about? And it's just completely moved in the other direction where, I mean, the culture is so obsessed with sales, commercial sales, and really Christmas is a vehicle just to sell things. It really is. It's funny, in the Peanuts, Charlie Brown Christmas, Lucy actually says that, and she's absolutely – and that character saying that is absolutely right. It is all about selling things at this time of the year. And even when they're playing music, Christmas music on the radio, it's for their advertisers that they'll go to commercial. And it's just very frustrating to not hear what truly happened in Bethlehem over now 2,000 years ago, the miracle that took place, the simple, profound miracle that took place then. It's just drowned out by the silliness of this life and the physical desires of this life. And the commercial industry understands all of that, and they use it to their benefit.
Right.
And as you said, you know, a lot of time during the Christmas time of year, the only time that people will hear the gospel is in songs like "O Holy Night" and "Silent Night" and "What Child Is This?" That many of them do have great theology, and I think of the song "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen," where the line goes, "Who's referring to Christ, who saved us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray?" You know. And that's what the world is gripped in, Satan's power. And the great Christmas hymns describe what Christ came to do, to destroy that hold that Satan had on people. But
amen.
I could go on and on, Bill, but I know that you have some things to say.
Yeah. It does get frustrating. You know, it's one of those things, Joe, where and it's easy for even Christians to fall into the trap. You know, you love this time of the year with with just the festivities going on, with you have Christmas music playing and it's all upbeat and it's nice to hear and listen to, and it gets you in the mood, and It really is a time of the year where, people do seem to forget about a lot of their troubles and, and focus in on the season. And, one of the messages that was brought out last night in the service that we had attended was that, it's gotten so that, for for those who have professed faith in Christ, they really do need to bring it back to its roots in celebrating God with us.
Yes.
And turning Christmas upside down. I think that was a great theme. You know, just getting back to the purpose of why you're getting together to celebrate.
That's right.
So, yeah, I could go on for another 45 mm-hmm. minutes as well, Joe. Just you know, talking about the things that you see that bother you. Because it really is a solemn time to just think about God taking on flesh and being born as a human being to come and to accomplish something that was set out before the world was even created. That's is just
yes.
something that our minds can't fully grasp, the grace and love of God and what he has purposed in bringing
Amen.
Christ into the world and what he is purposed for the remaining time that this planet has to exist
mm-hmm.
and for eternity to come. So with that, Joe, we're gonna transition into part of our broadcast that we've developed throughout this past year, certainly, and hopefully in 2014, taking it even a little further. And it's what Joe and I call our icebreaker session, where we ask a question of one another and just come up with answers that hopefully
mm-hmm.
shed light on our subject matter. So today being Christmas, that is going to be our subject matter. So as Joe and I were preparing during the week for this, I wanted to talk about expectations and, you know, what people expect as they get to Christmas. So that's kind of the topic that we're going to go down as we go through this section of the broadcast. So, Joe, you want to ask your question first?
I do. I don't know how much really this has to do with Christmas, Bill, but it does have to do with what you expect, you personally, Bill Posey. Let me read the question, then you'll understand what I'm trying to say. One of the most significant news stories, Bill, to come out of this past Christmas season was the breach of security at Target department stores regarding consumer credit information being stolen during purchases. And I was speaking recently with someone who works in the field of information technology, and it's his opinion that this sort of credit information theft will become an epidemic. So with this, all of this in mind, Bill, How do you expect retailers will respond when and if the theft of credit card information becomes more widespread? How do you think that they'll respond to that? What do you expect them to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I did have a little bit of time to talk about this with someone else just in the past couple of days. And I think that retailers and those that accept debit/credit cards in general are really going to be faced with some problems in the future as technology advances, Joe. And you know, you have this is what amazes me about this, Joe, that you have a gathering of IT, computer genius, those who can write programs and get their ways around things. You know, they're known as hackers. And that's all these people do, Joe. That is their job. You know, you and I we wake up in the morning and we have careers to go to, jobs to go to,
right,
and things that we do every day. These people, their thing to do every day, Joe, is to steal and to find different ways to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the other end are those who they're computer geniuses as well. And, you know, they're trying to develop systems that will keep the hackers out. And so there's almost this battle going on in the clouds, so to speak.
Right.
You know, in the digital world where one side is trying to find ways to steal money, the other side is trying to find ways to keep people protected. And and we're caught in the middle, Joe. And you know, and it's hard earned money that is being fought over here. And people are becoming victims. And you know, Joe, I really don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have to come up with some kind of safeguard. I remember back, you know, I'm picking up my debit card right now and I'm looking at it. And at one time there was on the reverse side of the card. Now you have these group of numbers, and supposedly this was supposed to offer some more protection, where you had to punch in a 3-digit code on your card whenever you went online to do any purchases or anything like that.
Right.
You know, and then of course everyone has their own PIN. So they've come up with different, you know, ideas on how to be able to safeguard people, but they're not working. So I'm guessing they're going to have to come up with some other kind of digital coding that, you know, consumers are going to have to punch in somewhere on a, you know, one of the credit card machines that gets swiped or something. But, you know, the battle is really intensifying out there, and people who, you know, Joe, when I was in my early teens and, you know, you start working, ever dealt in cash. You know, you had cash
That's
in
right.
your pocket. If you were going to the store to buy anything, you handed over dollar bills.
Yeah.
Today, hardly anybody carries cash around because supposedly, and I'm using the quotation finger thing, supposedly we're safer now using debit and credit cards, and it's just not the case. You know, you have a better
right.
chance with a pocket full of ones and fives if you're me, or you know, than you are with the debit card, because hey, they're out there, Joe, and they're looking to steal your money.
Yeah, and it's amazing, Bill. As I'm thinking as you're speaking, how the advances that we have in technology really reach out into all aspects of our lives. And over a period of decades, we've transitioned away, as you said, from cash. Like, I think about my father, and I think back on how he would handle money and how he bought things. And the thought of paying for something with a card would have been something so totally foreign to him, and how in one generation we've transitioned. And I don't even remember when my first credit card was. I remember in my teens and certainly in my 20s and into my 30s, always having cash on me and always paying for things in cash. But how we as a culture have been transitioned away from that, where that is, as you said, that's the exception to the rule. Now it's that we have a wallet, and it's real thin now because there are only cards in there.
Yeah.
And as technology has made our lives easier in so many different ways and more enjoyable, it's also made it easier for
thieves, like you said, who make a career doing it. You know, you think of the guy, the burglar, he used to have to put on his mask and get his little toolkit out and go run around in somebody's backyard, look for a window to get in. Now, with the technology that we have, and these people aren't stupid. You know, they, like you said, they major in this. They know how to do stuff like this. You know, listen, it's so devious. The people, as you said, the people that are making the programs to keep people safe, who's to say they're not the same people that are giving this information to, or the same people themselves that are stealing it?
You bring up a great point, Joe.
So the bottom line is how do you, is there a fail-safe method out there where, and, you know, this stuff is, I'm sure, more ubiquitous than we realize. You just, it's just not reported. Target is a major chain department store, and so that had to make its way into the news. But this happens on a smaller level every day in all parts of the world. We've all heard stories within either a family member or a friend of a family member or a friend of ours who had their identity stolen and who got wiped out. You've had it happen to you.
Yeah, at least so, twice this past year.
It's incredible. It's really incredible. And what is the answer to this? And, you know, I don't know. I'm glad I didn't ask myself this question because I am not that smart. I'm trying to go back to paying for things more so with cash than anything, than using cards. I rarely buy anything over the internet. I mean, I just don't have the patience for that stuff. So that's probably not going to happen to me. But, you know, I use my card when I go get gas. I use my card when I go to a department store. So this is a problem. And as the gentleman that I was speaking with, he believes, and he's in this field, so he's watching the signs of the times. He believes that this is going to become more of an epidemic in the near future. So,
wow!
I tell you, I wouldn't want to have the responsibility of people coming into my store worrying if their identities are going to be stolen, or their information is going to be stolen. So it's something that bears watching in this coming year. Where all this is going to wind up, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just we've so many things are made easier by technology, but at the same time, there's a price to pay. And Target is one of the recent casualties in the people who shop there. So it's going to be very interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah, no doubt. Great topic, Joe. I don't know what they're going to do, but you know, it's people, you know, they had to get their, you know, their fill of all the technology that's available. But as you say, Joe, there is a price to pay, no doubt about it.
That's right.
All right.
Your question,
right. Joe. you know, think back on all the Christmases that you celebrated. And I wanted to just have you zero in on what your expectation is for you as a father in celebrating with your family. What are the expectations you have as it comes close to Christmas every year?
That's a great question. And I guess I would mix my expectations with my for them with regards to Christmas. You know, we spent some time during this past hour talking about what Christmas really is and what it really means. It means that there is hope for mankind, that there is hope because in Bethlehem, Christ, our Savior, was born in a feeding trough and would go on to live a perfect, sinless life and ultimately to go to the cross that only he could bear, pay for the sins of the world, not only as the scripture says, for our sins who have been saved, but for the sins of the whole world. So the gift of salvation is offered to everyone. And my hope as each Christmas comes is that, and I know that maybe I've dropped the ball. I've been irresponsible. But I know that my children have heard from the scriptures what Christmas is. You know, the word Christmas is not in the scriptures, but the description of what happened in Bethlehem is in Luke, and they heard that every Christmas morning.
Praise God. My hope
for them.
I just said praise God that, you know, the scriptures do address
Amen.
The whole reason.
Yeah, that's it. And we've overcomplicated things, and we've, you know, Romans 12:1 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in terms of Christmas, we've become conformed to the patterns of the world. We've allowed ourselves, and I put myself in that, although I've tried to make it clear over the years that this is really the simple truth of Christmas here. Simple, but nothing more profound than God coming into the world that he created and taking on human form. Nothing more profound than that. And yet we've made it all about gifts. We've made it all about holiday songs, about food, about family get-togethers. So my expectations for them, Bill, and maybe it's even more of a hope than an expectation, that as they get older, they will see this time of year holds a certain jading process for me. I've become jaded over the years where I know what's coming, and I want to avoid a lot of things that I see in the car culture with regards to Christmas. I hope for them, and I expect for them to move away from that and towards the simple truth of really ultimately what is the gospel, the beginning of the gospel here on the earth when Christ came in to this world and took on human form. None of my children have children of their own yet. As they are so blessed with children, that they would do a better job really than I did in making clear the true message of this time of year. Now, again, I expect that to happen because I'm going to be in prayer about it. And I expect that God will honor those prayers. I do believe that he will honor those prayers. So something as simple as moving away from the commercial bludgeoning and battering that takes place this time of year, every year, and just get back to this. As you said, was the subject of the Christmas Eve service, turning it upside down and getting back to really what brings us true joy at this time of year. The joy is knowing that Christ, as the great Christmas hymn, Good Christian Men Rejoice, says, Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
Yes.
So that's my expectation.
Yeah, that's awesome answer, Joe. And I knew from your texts and all that, it's just some of the things that you've been struggling with as the season has approached. And it's good sometimes just to be able to articulate what you're feeling on the inside, you know. And and certainly this is an area that that every father, and especially a father who says that they have placed faith in Christ, it's certainly an expectation that Christians should have. for the time of the year. And you know, we turned into something that is foreign to the scriptures, and it's just a time to get back to the roots of the celebration, and a time to just reflect on the whole of the scriptures, Joe, and that's what I want to talk about today.
Okay.
You know, that Christ not only came as a babe in a manger, and you know, and that is one of the great things to celebrate this time of the year.
Yes.
But I think for the Christian, it's something to place your mind toward, in that, you know, Christ not only came and died for our sins, but he is coming again. And there is going to be another miracle that is going to take place. And it's one where, you know, not only a few men will seek out the star that leads them to the house where Jesus and his family were staying.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a miracle like any other, Joe. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. It's not your typical Christmas message.
Right.
But it's one that that I hope Christians get some encouragement from, and for those who are believers in Christ, I hope that they take it to heart and really
yes.
think about their relationship at this time as we approach the time when Christ is going to appear again.
Amen.
So, Joe, can you take a couple minutes and pray, and then we'll get into our devotions for today.
Sure. Father, we thank you for the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you that when we block out the noise of the world at this time, the bells and whistles of life, and we think about the beautiful picture of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world, being born in humble surroundings with no fanfare that would suggest that this is a king being born.
Mm.
We think of the beautiful picture that that is because of who Jesus Christ is. And Father, we pray at this time now that as we look into the scriptures for truth and for direction and for understanding, Lord, that you would bring the glorious truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the majesty of his coming into the world, the message of hope that every ear needs to hear and every heart needs to receive. Father, give ears to hear and hearts that will receive now, who will hear the word of God being spoken. And be with my brother as he brings encouragement from your word. And we give you the thanks for this time, and we trust that you will use it to your glory and for all of our good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe. Expectations. What are your expectations as the sun is beginning to break through here on the east coast of the United States this morning on Christmas morning? What are your expectations for Christmas? In some of our past broadcasts, Joe and I have talked about the whole Christmas season and how it begins earlier and earlier every year. And certainly the countdown this year started well before Thanksgiving, as the stores have ramped up their programs to be able to sell more and more, and to to make their money. And and certainly the retailers aren't the only ones. You turn your TV on, and right before you there is commercial upon commercial just to bombard you with Christmas sales. And you really do need that Lexus, and on and on it goes. And with each passing day, the excitement and preparation for the arrival of this day, Christmas morning, just accelerates. And the lights and the decorations, they're all up, and they've been up. The stores were overflowing, and now are going to take at least one day of the year to close their doors. And the Christmas music has filled the air here locally in our area. I believe it's FM 98.1 has been playing Christmas music since Thanksgiving.
Right.
And certainly as Joe has talked about, if you get to hear Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer one more time, you're ready to bash your head against your window in the car. But certainly the build up to this day is like none other. And what's all the preparation for? Well, any child can tell you, because Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah.
And he's making a list, he's checking it twice, and he's going to find out who's been bad or good, so he better be good for goodness sake, because Santa Claus is coming to town. Now, for many, that's important. But the one who's coming to town that I'm looking forward to this morning won't be coming from the North Pole, and he's not going to be riding on a sleigh led by some reindeer and one with a shiny nose, but he's going to be coming from heaven and arriving on clouds of the sky. And
yeah.
Joe, no matter how you look at it, his arrival is going to be awesome. And the anticipation of that is not ours alone, because millions of people in nations all over the world eagerly await his coming. And for those who have placed their faith in Christ, this should be something that they look forward to every day. And
yes.
When he does come, he's not going to be coming as a baby. He's going to do what the prophets have proclaimed of old. He'll be bringing gifts to men. But unlike Santa, his gifts will not be based upon our goodness, but it's going to be based upon his grace.
Amen.
And what I'd like to tell you today is that you need to start making your plans. You need to prepare your hearts and your minds and your understanding that the aspects of his coming again set him apart from all others. And to start with, let me just share something from God's word that concerns his coming, and to put this into its context. This is a man who lived for the first coming of Jesus Christ, and his name was Daniel. And Daniel was a man who was blessed with understanding. He could take a dream and decipher what the dream meant.
Yeah.
And he was one of the prophets of God that that spoke from God. And this particular passage, he had a vision that came from God. And this is from Daniel chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. And the word of God says this: "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven, and he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All the peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed."
Yes.
Daniel 7, 13 and 14. Did you catch that, what I just read there? In a vision, Daniel says that he saw the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven in glory and in power, and that all the people and nations of the entire world worshiped him. You know, when you think back on Christ's first coming, there were some who worshiped him. There were shepherds out in the field that had a vision of angels that came and the sky broke apart in light. And in glorious praise, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom God's favor rests. And they came and worshiped the child that was born. And then we have the story of the men that came from the east. They came with gifts and worshiped the one who was born. But this passage of scripture talks about all the nations of the entire world will worship him. And Daniel wasn't the only one that talked about this coming. The Apostle Paul wrote about it in his letter to the church in Thessalonica. He wrote, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." See, when Jesus comes back, he's not going to send an ambassador to speak for him. He is coming himself.
Amen.
And we need to be ready for that day. So this morning, I want to consider Jesus seriously. I want to consider Daniel's vision seriously, and to be excited about the coming of Jesus Christ and the importance of having our hearts prepared for its coming. You know, it's fun to watch the excitement grow on the faces of kids, Joe, as Christmas Day comes.
Right.
Last night we were around a bunch of my nieces and nephews and their children, and the excitement was just, you know, ever present in the room. And in fact, Joe, this was so funny. They wanted so badly to get home and to get into bed that they went and strapped themselves in the car, waiting for their parents to come out. You know, the expectations of children is amazing to watch at this time of the year. But, you know, as Christians, we should even be more excited than a little child.
That's right, Bill.
At the expectation of the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not about a man in a, you know, a fat man in a red suit with toys tucked under his arm. You and I should be excited about the coming of Jesus the King, dressed in all his radiance and riding the clouds of heaven.
Yes.
And, Joe, we're commanded to look forward to the coming of Jesus.
That's right.
In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, Peter asks a question. He says, what kind of people should you be? And Peter, the preacher, answers his own question by saying, you should live holy lives and serve God as you wait and look forward to the coming of the day of the Lord.
Yes.
You know, it's that childlike enthusiasm and excitement that should be the driving force for every believer.
Yes.
And in the last verses of the last chapter of the last book in the Bible, John the Revelator writes this, Joe. He says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And Joe, when you think of that in the context of Christmas, isn't that beautiful? John hears Jesus himself saying, I am coming soon. And John responds with, all right, come on,
yes.
Lord Jesus.
That's
and
right.
That should be the gist of the attitude of everybody this Christmas morning. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, and
Amen.
Some of you might be saying, all right, you know, I'm convinced now I should be looking forward to the coming of Jesus, but how is he going to come, and, you know, when is he going to come, and why is he coming? And those are all good questions. So how is Jesus going to return? Well, he's not coming back as the seventh incarnation of Buddha or as some mystical force called upon. You know, he's coming visibly in the clouds. And every eye is going to see him.
That's right.
Jesus himself spoke about this when he was talking with the disciples. He said, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn, for they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Matthew 24,
yes.
Verses 30 and 31. Every eye is going to see him, and every knee is going to bow before him, and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord.
Amen.
You know, we have today those who, you know, they're going to say, well, you know, we don't even know if Jesus came. Yeah, it's a good story. And then there are those that are going to search for the historical Jesus. You know, what did he really do? And the History Channel
right.
will do their whole thing on that.
Yeah.
But the scriptures tell us exactly what we can expect when Jesus returns. And, of course, the question that's posed by everyone is, well, when? When's this going to happen? Jesus said he was coming back. Well, 2,000 years have passed. He hasn't come yet. When's it going to be? Well, that poses a major problem for most of us because as people, we do like to be prepared. Most folks will be prepared for Christmas morning because they have a deadline to work within, you know. And certainly
right.
my wife and I experienced that yesterday. You know,
mm-hmm.
you might be waiting till the last minute, but you know when December 25th is going to strike. The clock's
oh,
going to
sure.
tick 12:01, and it's Christmas, you know.
Yes.
And we all know that we've gotten our presents and that Christmas Day is going to come and we're going to celebrate. Well, the problem that we have when we look for the next coming of Jesus is that we don't know when that is going to be. We only know that it is coming.
Yes.
And Jesus says this. He says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house to be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
Yes.
Jesus is saying that when we least expect him to come, expect him.
Hmm.
What time would that be for you? Just after you finished all your hard work of gathering your gifts and preparing your home and preparing the meal and getting ready for your family to come.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear it now. Lord, it's a good of you to come, but your timing needs a lot to be desired. You know, there are people, Joe, that want to hold on to this world. They want to hold on to their traditions and their toys. But Joe, all those are going to burn up. They're all going to perish.
That's right.
And there's only one thing that's going to live on forever. And that's your soul.
Amen.
So, you know, are you excited about the PlayStation 4 that you're going to open up this morning? Are you excited about January 1 coming and all the bowl games, 35 of them on TV that you can watch? Are you excited about those kind of things? You expect them. We know that they're coming every year.
Mm-hmm.
Paul wrote this in 1 Thessalonians 5. He said, "Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief the night."
Mm.
1 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2. Paul is encouraging believers to avoid setting dates and getting all wrapped up in the thinking that we know this day Jesus is coming or that day he's coming. But the scriptures themselves testify that he's going to come like a thief in the night.
Yes.
And why is he coming? Well, first of all, Jesus is coming back for all those who have placed their faith in him.
Yes.
Joe, that in itself is an awesome thing
to consider
this Christmas.
You know,
when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, he told his disciples this. He looked at their faces, Joe, and he saw this consternation. He saw this questioning in their faces. What are you talking about?
Mm.
And they were troubled that he was telling them that he had to go away. And then he tried to comfort them. He told them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me, because in my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, Joe Marotti, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am."
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Wow, what great encouragement. What a great expectation for believers to be ready for. But there's a second reason that Jesus is returning. And certainly, it would be remiss for me not to tell you that reason. That reason is that he is coming back to judge those who continue to live in wickedness and continue to live in their sins and have not placed faith in the one who is coming. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there was a loud voice in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." And its 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their face and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign." This is what Joe was talking about earlier in our broadcast here. Jesus Christ is coming again in great power and glory to take his throne on this earth.
That's right.
To sit upon his throne as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all the nations of the world, as Daniel wrote, are going to come and worship him.
That's right, brother.
See, Joe, he is coming to town. I hope that you are going to be ready for that day when he comes. Therefore,
yes.
God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So this morning, this Christmas morning, this one of excitement and expectation, as we celebrate the first coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, think about awesome expectation and excitement of his coming again for those that are his and for those that he will judge. Joe's going to take the next few minutes here, and he's going to talk about how you can know for sure that you are going to spend eternity in this mansion that is being prepared for you.
Amen. Thank you, Bill, for that tremendous encouragement. And as you were so wonderfully speaking from the scriptures and giving us that wonderful truth that he is coming again, it just struck me as all the bells and whistles and frivolity of this Christmas season has gotten us off track. Those who are saved and who know Christ as Savior, that the message that you just gave is something that gets us right back on track and a true encouragement for our hearts that can only come from the truths of Scripture and the promises of God that are irrevocable. And I want to thank you for that. It was a great encouragement to my heart, and I'm sure to all those who are listening. And it is something to – it is the heart of who we are. We are to be looking forward to his coming again, to not be consumed with all of the things that this world offers that are passing away and that will be burnt up. And as you said rightfully, brother, our souls will pass on, and only those things that we've done for his kingdom, and that God knows the motives of our hearts, just because we say, Jesus, Jesus, just because we go here and there and we think that we're doing things for him. When Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, this treasure really is only those things that we truly did with godly motives. And God is the judge of that. Jesus Christ is the judge of that. So, yes, we do need to be looking forward. And what excitement that brings to contemplate that Jesus went to prepare a place for us in his Father's house, so that where he is, we may also be. And that began here on earth to be possible for mankind when Jesus came the first time. Now, grace extended. Grace went prior to the cross as well, when we consider the Old Testament saints who were saved by faith the same way that we were saved by faith. But they looked forward from afar, as the scripture says, at the salvation that would come. Now, I want to quickly just read a couple scriptures, Bill, because as you just gave a message from the scriptures that you rarely hear, if ever, at this time of year, I also want to focus for a couple of minutes on something that you rarely hear. Certainly, the world will not hear, and I don't know how often it's preached in congregations now, but I want to read two scriptures before I read the familiar passage from Luke. I want to read this scripture from Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 36. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. That's from Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 36. How often do you hear about peace on earth, Bill?
Yeah.
And this time of year, you see the cards that on the front say, peace on earth, peace on... Well, who is this peace for? Who is this peace for? That's the great misconception of this year. I want to also read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through chapter 6, verse 2. 2 Corinthians says this, Paul says this. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor.
Mm.
Now is the day of salvation. You see that word at the very end there. In the time of my favor, the time of my favor, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. This also here from Luke, which is the story that is read every time this year and should be read every time this year. But I want to focus on something towards the end of this short passage. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests.
Mm.
Did you hear that at the end?
Yeah.
And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now, traditionally, that last line has been left out where we just read, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men. That's the message really of the world, peace, peace to men, to all men. And we hear this a lot talked about in politics. How do you bring peace to the world? Well, this scripture is talking about God's favor, that God's peace has come on whom God's favor rests. And Paul says that now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace to this earth, but a sword.
Mm.
So the question in everyone's mind and heart must be this.
how do I get God's favor to rest on me? How do I know this peace of God? He didn't come to bring peace to the earth. There will be peace in a future kingdom, as Bill spoke about earlier. But now, peace is a word that is bandied about that really has no possibility of taking place because Satan is the god of this age. And Satan is not about peace, but he is about destruction. So how does one know this peace of God that passes all understanding? How does the favor of God rest on an individual? Well, when we think of God's favor, we think of his grace. This is the age of grace. When Jesus came into the world, he came to offer salvation that is to all men, that is offered to all men. But the only way that we can know the peace of God and we can have the favor of God rest on us is through a saving faith in Jesus Christ, because we are separated from that peace. Because the scriptures tell us we are at enmity with God because of the evil that is in our hearts and minds. It is called sin. So it's a word that you don't hear anymore, really. It's sin. And it is sin that is what separates us from the peace and the favor of God. It is sin that what Jesus came to pay the penalty for, to go to be born in that feeding trough and to live a perfect, sinless life, to become the precious Lamb of God without spot, without blemish, whose blood was shed for the remission of sin. But if you've rejected that gift, this is a warning, folks. One of the struggles that I endure this time each year is I see people running around and being busy, and I see joy, I see happiness in the context of this world. But I know in my heart that the majority, because the scripture tells us that broad is the road that leads to destruction. There are many that are on that road. And narrow is the gate. Narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. And there are few that are on that road. So as I look at it this time of year, I see the road filled with people that are on their way to destruction. And I can't ignore that. My heart mourns and breaks for those people. So you have to ask yourself, has my sin been forgiven? Or is my sin still held against me? Because the scripture tells us that you've rejected Jesus Christ, the wrath of God remains on you. So this is a warning at this time of year. Don't think that Jesus came to bring peace on earth. He came to bring his sword. Because when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are going to suffer in this life. You're not exalted in this life. Your rewards will come from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at his time. You'll be rewarded for your service. But on this earth, you're going to be an enemy in your own household. Mm-hmm. You're going to be an enemy at work. You're going to be an enemy in your community. Because for the majority, most are following Satan, the king, the god of this age. Mm-hmm. We need to understand the reality of sin and what its eternal cost is. The eternal cost is that you suffer forever in the lake of fire. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news on what should be a day of joy, but I couldn't put my head on the pillow tonight if I didn't send out this warning. Don't think about peace if you have not received the gift of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness that is through his finished work on the cross that he bore, the atonement made once and for all for sin, so that we can stand before God clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is by grace that we've been saved through faith, and it's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, so that we cannot boast. It is God's grace that has saved us. Amen. So my challenge to those listening today is examine your heart Do you have the peace of God truly? Is God's favor truly resting on you? If not, consider what the scriptures say. That Jesus came in, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn you. He sent him into the world to save you. And you know, it's every time I watch the Charlie Brown Christmas, Bill, it's like a microcosm. Charles Schulz had his finger on the pulse of our culture back then when he came up with the script for this.
Yep.
Everybody's running around dancing and they're setting up a play, and Charlie Brown gets so frustrated. He said, I just want to know, somebody tell me what Christmas is all about. And Lyonna steps forward. I'll tell you, every time that happens, I get choked up and I get a lump in my throat because Lyonna is, he's speaking from the scriptures.
Right.
And I think that we need to hear that more. What is Christmas truly about? It's truly about what I just read from Luke. That unto us in the city of Bethlehem, a Savior was born, who is Christ the Lord. It is truly the good news, the greatest news that any one can ever hear. So at this time, I pray for all of you out there who have yet to come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Don't let this season pass without you going before the throne of grace and confessing that you're a sinner, guilty of sin, and that you just received it with childlike faith, a gift. As a child opens up his gifts and didn't do anything for them, but because of the love of a parent, the parent gives that gift to the child, and the child just receives it freely and receives it with joy. And as our loving Heavenly Father has offered his Son, receive it with joy. You don't have to do anything for it. It's by grace. God loved you so much that he sent his Son into the world to go to an agonizing, cruel death on cross. That's how great his love is.
Amen.
So think about what the scriptures say and think about your need for him, the greatest gift ever given to mankind, as the scripture says, the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, thanks, Joe, and I praise God for what he impressed upon your heart to speak about this morning. And I praise him for the time that he's given us to bring our fourth in our fourth message of Christmas morning to be able to share with those who tune in. And Joe, we want to thank all those who listen live this morning, and for those who are going to hear this in the future on the podcast, we hope that you were encouraged. We hope that if you haven't come to a saving knowledge of Christ, that that you were convicted in your heart to look into these things and to seek out the one who has come and the one who is coming again. And Joe and I want to offer our best Christmas wishes for you and your families, and for a healthy 2014 is a week away. And we hope that you enjoy your time together, and that you will think upon this season, and as we talked about, turn it upside down. And bring it back to its roots.
Yes.
So, Joe, I want to thank you again, and I want to wish you and your family a blessed Christmas. And I hope you enjoy every part of this day. And I look forward to the time when we can get together again and and talk about putting together a broadcast and getting back into the swing of bringing messages and topics on Block Talk Radio that that matter for eternity and not just for frivolity. And
yes.
So, Joe, with that, we're going to wrap up, and I'm going to play a Christmas carol that will play out to the end of our broadcast, and it's this one. It's O Come, Emmanuel. So God bless you all. Thank you again, Joe, and I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Thank you, brother. And to you and your family as well, a wonderful and blessed Christmas, and to all those who are listening now, Christ be with you at this time.
Yeah, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O come, Emmanuel.
Come, Lord.